Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Issue 31.
Yay! 31, I guess. After 30, it doesn't really matter, though, that much.
It's all downhill from now.
Alright, well...
Well, good thing that's got tissues.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, seriously.
Thanks for tuning in and listening to our gradual decline.
Yeah. I am one of your hosts, Nat, and with me, as always...
is Pat.
And Cat in Hat.
Yay! Alright, we're going to get through some news here pretty quickly, just some announcements. Rick and Morty has won an Emmy for Best Animated Program. For the episode Pickle Rick.
Oh my god.
Yay.
Who is it up against?
Emmy Rick. It was like all the major ones. There was
all the major like sitcom style ones.
Yeah, animated. Okay. Yeah, you know, South Park,
not
Simpsons.
Family Guy.
I think Family Guy might have been up for a couple
really?
Things. Yeah.
Oh, that's surprising.
I don't have the list in front of me.
All right. Well, interesting.
Yeah.
There's a couple of ongoings that have been announced by Marvel Comics. Superior Spider-Man.
Which I'm super interested in.
Right. Starting in December, written by Christos Gage with art by Mike Hawthorne. I'm confused by this, just really in a quick statement, because how is Dr. Octopus coming back as the Superior Spider-Man?
I don't know anything about him.
I guess we'll have to read the comic to find out.
Yeah, but I don't want to. The comic I do want to read, however, is Miles Morales' Spider-Man, which will be relaunching in
December. I'm pretty sure
December.
After the talk we have about something that I did this weekend, you might consider reading it just because of the author.
So Miles Morales' Spider-Man is going to be launching in December, written by Saladin Ahmed. With,
they're like Merry
art
Christmas
by,
Spider-Man.
Right. With art by Javier Garon. This should be really cool. And yeah, Miles deserves his own series for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Weird bit of... A bit of information. So the Venom movie is getting a prequel comic book. It should be available online today for purchase, and print copies will be given at opening weekend at AMC Theaters because it's actually being produced by AMC Theaters.
Huh.
Yeah.
Comic produced by AMC Theaters.
Sure. Maybe it'll be cinematic.
Oh my god.
That crash you hear is me trying to jump out a window.
Wow.
And the window in here is tiny.
I'm trying really hard, okay?
Trying really hard. A bit of sad news. The Vision comic book from Marvel has been canceled before its debut issue. In fact, it's being solicited right now for previews.
Oh, God.
But four issues are already complete, so that's kind of just a weird one.
Like, I shouldn't laugh, but I just keep envisioning the artist and writer, like,
what? Yeah, their excitement turning in that last issue is like, oh, you guys are canceled.
Yeah, we got the whole first story arc done, guys. Here it is. Ooh, about that.
Yeah.
By the way,
I don't know. That's a bit of odd stuff. And then what I read this yesterday, and I had to double take and go through like my Twitter feed and look at different artists and writers to really see if this was true.
See, you're not being lied to.
Yeah. Martian Manhunter is getting a 12-issue series written by Steve Orlando with art by Riley Rossmo, and I can't be more fucking excited.
I'm not a big, you know, DC pantheon, like, in general, but I love Martian Manhunter. He's, like, one of my favorite characters, and I feel like he's one of the most underutilized characters for what he is.
Right.
He's an alien. It's just kind of like that moment in time where there's that slow decline for me, and I'm like, he's not a bad character. He's interesting, but I'm like,
I may or may not have, like, started
like
a Martian Manhunter fanfic that may or may not be something on my laptop.
That's amazing.
So, you know, that's something that DC may or may not want to talk to me about.
Just give me a call. I will leave you my cell phone.
When this
number.
Miniseries is done, I got another good miniseries idea.
Seriously. I'm really excited for this. Steve Orlando and Riley Rossmo have worked together multiple times. They actually did the Batman Shadow miniseries. And they also
that was a good series.
Yeah, that was fantastic. And they also did the Batman Night of the Monster Men. They collaborated on one of the issues that was part of that, the crossover with DC Rebirth. I'm really excited about this because they're going to do detective version of Martian Manhunter. So he's actually going to have the civilian identity and being a beat cop.
Oh, really?
That's really cool.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's going to be fun. And then Rosmo is going to explore the look and societal structure of the Martians. So they're going to do some, like, backstory telling of, you know, why he feels like it's his duty to represent the Martians. And
see, when you do stuff like that, then I get interested.
Yeah.
I always enjoy little backstories.
Rosmo's
like that.
Art is nuts. Like, it's super weird and, like, sort of animated. So, yeah, this should be a really, really cool issue. And once again, starting in December, like, December's going to drop a whole bunch of number ones.
God damn it.
Wallet pain that we're all feeling, right?
Yeah, it's okay.
It's good.
Hopefully, all those number ones that we're going to get are actually good, though.
Yeah, I'm probably on the Martian Manhunter one, even if it, like, the issue one is ho-hum because of the team behind it, so.
That's fair.
And I think I'm probably on it because
that's of Martian Manhunter. For the same reason I'm actually super interested in the Superior Spider-Man. He's the writer for it.
Right. And I'm more interested in Miles because I haven't been able to jump onto a Miles series yet, and this
I'll probably try out the first one.
Yeah.
Been a little more interested in Spider-Man lately because I always forget about him.
Well, so why are you interested in Spider-Man? Maybe we should talk about that.
So, I mean, obviously if you have the internet or a television, you know that the Spider-Man video game came out. Oh my god, that game was awesome. I mean, a bunch of people are talking about how they definitely took a lot of cues from the Arkham series, but at the same time, the Arkham series took cues from the Spider-Man game. So it's literally just one line of, it started here, but it was really, really good. Like, the story in it, like, the main storyline, I finished it last night. I had to keep playing it. I finished it last night at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Trying not to cry to myself on my couch. It was that good. Like,
that's awesome.
Wow.
Hilariously enough, the guy who is writing Superior Spider-Man is also the co-author for the storyline in the Spider-Man.
That's
movie.
Fantastic.
Oh, really?
And that's that's a really smart crossover thing. Speaking of the Arkham series, because Paul Dini had written part of the first two Arkham games. So it's like having that crossover really does a lot to make the story sane.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Sony did an excellent job. Like, they pulled him in and everything. Like, they did great. They had.
I mean, why would you not? You know.
Well, the other fun thing is it looks like Marvel's being a little more lenient with them, or Disney's being more lenient with them, because they have the Avengers Tower, they have Alias Investigations, they have Fogwell Gym.
What? That's awesome.
So they're putting all these little, like, Marvel landmarks within it.
That's really smart. It allows you to separate your universes. I don't need an MCU game. Like, I'd rather play what the video game universe is. And if this is your entry point, you know, and you give Spider-Man, the question then becomes, you know, because it's a Sony property, like, where all the weird rights are, but it might be worth it to co-produce.
Part too is, like, the sheer amount of villains that are in that game too, and all the character designs. Like, his new costume is badass looking, and then all of the other costumes that you have a chance to unlock as well are also badass.
I spoiled all 28 of the costumes for myself because I just wanted to see them all. And the one that I could just not get over, and if I ever had a PS4 and played this game, the moment I unlocked the vintage classic suit,
that would be
the only thing I would play.
I don't know. There was one, I don't know. I really like the 2099 one. They did great at rendering that with all the textures and everything on it. And then there's also, like, another one. I forgot what it's called, but it's, like, white and he's got red. It looks like he's got like a helmet on, and it's got gray. I'll have to find it.
It's Armored Spider-Man 2099. It's the second Miguel costume.
Is it really? Yeah. That thing is fucking awesome, too. Except the weird part is he's got two green things on the back, like eyes, and I'm like, I'm literally staring at his ass right now.
That's hilarious. Oh, yeah, and then as you're playing, you have that perspective where you're literally staring at his ass.
Yeah, pretty much.
I also thought it was really, like, their envisioning of the Spider Armor Mark IV, which looks very close to the normal, like, red and blue costume with the glowing spider. Mm-hmm. Looked really pretty in the rendering. I was really excited about that.
A lot of the costumes in that are really pretty looking. Like, they worked hard in this, and just from, they did the typical Marvel thing at the end where they had multiple credit scenes as well.
Oh. That's awesome,
I can tell
actually.
You right now, I'm just, like, ready to be like, all right, Sony, where's my second game?
good. I mean, it's Insomniac Games that developed it, and, shout out to the Ratchet & Clank games.
Oh, did they?
Fantastic. Yeah.
Which
is, like, isn't that seem like a weird thing? It's like, all of a sudden, you have this company that's known for creating these great storytelling story-driven games, but that they've completely created everything themselves to then be doing a licensed property like this.
Well, I
keep
seeing other stuff, too. They're saying that there's, like, 9 comics for you to follow up on to understand the story more, too. So it looks like they
Well, Edge of Spider-Geddon is going to have stuff with the video game characters.
I know. I'm freaking stoked. I loved everybody's character designs, honestly. Miles, Mary Jane, Peter. It was
cool.
Nice. Ooh, Miles is in it?
Yeah,
nice.
Miles Morales is in it.
Yeah, they're like... this looks really good. I don't have a
preview,
PS4.
Yeah, when it was in the preview, I might just, like, let you borrow my PS4 so you can buy it, play it, so you can be like, oh my god!
I'll have to consult with my wife to be like, I have to have these specific hours each day that is dedicated to playing this game.
But yeah, I mean, I even went a little nuts and got the special edition PS4 Pro.
You had
and that bad boy, I have a red PlayStation in my house now with a spider symbol on it, and it's just something like, my precious.
That's dope. Alright, so we're gonna stay in like the other media sense though, and we're gonna talk about some Netflix stuff because we're big Netflix fans here.
Yeah.
They seem to be. Personally, I haven't been watching Netflix lately, and it's mostly just probably because I've been watching South Park.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Netflix and chill for us is really just an excuse to do research for this podcast.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
I gotta do work stuff. What do you
exactly.
So, wanted to just highlight Dragon Prince. Today is September 14th that we're recording, and the series dropped. So, mm-hmm. I wanted to also talk about the creators, because it's always mentioned that the Avatar, the creators of Dragon Prince were Avatar creators. Tangentially, the Aaron Shaz, I don't actually know if that's the correct way to pronounce his last name, but he was a head writer and the director of Avatar: The Last Airbender, and he is one of the co-creators. The other co-creator, Justin Richmond, was actually a co-director on Uncharted 3, but also the directorial team has come from
Aaron Ehaz, actually.
It's Ehaz?
Yeah.
Okay, is that the correct pronunciation?
Yeah, he's one of the head writers or whatever. Or he was like a... Sorry, I was looking at Nat's notes.
My
here.
Notes, yes.
Upside down.
upside down.
I've heard his name pronounced very weirdly mm-hmm. before. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I may or may not have watched all of Avatar: The Last Airbender with director commentary where they talk to each other, each other, so.
Yeah, and you should, right?
Yeah, if you like something.
Right.
And if you're a nerd, like, all of you should be.
A lot of Avatar alumni have moved on and graduated into working on this Dragon Prince series. Really excited for that. We didn't talk about the trailer last time. There was a 2-minute, I think it was about 2-minute trailer released for Dragon Prince,
mm-hmm.
and it did more story stuff, and the whole idea that there's, like, elves that are protectors of the actual, like, dragon kind, and, like, some sort of civil war aspect to it, and magic being...
And the the dragons in general, like how diverse their like looks were.
The little baby one that looks like a frog. Mm-hmm. I assume that's a dragon of some kind. Like I don't really know.
Maybe
frog dragon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Is this gonna be a Pokemon situation where they gotta capture them all?
I hope not.
I don't think so. This looks more like classic high fantasy.
Yeah, like characters on the run, just getting in an adventure.
Yeah, exactly. You know, running away from a kingdom and coming together to find dragons or whatever.
Yeah.
So
and protecting that and maybe reuniting society again.
Like. Yeah, because there was also something about like we haven't seen a dragon. In a while,
the dragon prince was killed by one of the nations or one of the factions.
Yeah, they mentioned that like while they're in the city or whatever, and then, but then in the trailer we see like multiple dragons,
right? And we don't know if that's some sort of like past storytelling sequences or anything like that. Like,
I thought I remember in one scene the three main characters standing like. In front of a dragon.
Yes, and they cast a spell on it, like some sort of an electro spell.
Yeah.
There's a lot of uncomfortable. Like I don't know if I'm ready to do this with the characters. Like a lack of confidence in what they're able to do. From the trailer, like
them being hesitant about
what.
So I think that's gonna be good. I think it's gonna be. Just like Avatar gave us, you know, this huge, like, extremely well-built world, and, like, but, like, it eased you into it, like, very, easily, or ease you into it very easily. Right. Wow, I'm such so good at words this morning.
We're eloquent today.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. but I think it's going to be a lot of the same stuff where they're sort of, we as the audience are getting to sort of uncover this world right. along with the main characters.
And it feels like a world that's been lived in before where yes. we may not get those answers, but we feel like they're there.
Yeah. Well, I think just like Avatar style, you know, they have like things that have happened like thousands of years yeah. ago in that
it's,
world.
It's the reason that Lord of the Rings and Star Wars work as well. You know, it's like this idea that there's so much past history. One of the things too I wanted to comment on, I went to school for animation. So for me, it's very clear that we're looking at CG.
Yeah.
I think this might be the first series to fool people. Like, I think there's going to be a subset of the population that don't realize that it's computer-generated, and they're going to look at this and think it's 2D.
I mean, I guess that is true. I mean, I can usually pick up on that kind of stuff.
But at least watching the trailer, the only way you can tell that it's CG is because of the motion.
Yeah.
Not because of the actual art itself.
Yeah, right.
The art itself, if you took stills of it...
And actually, stills, I thought, the first still that I saw, I thought it was a 2D image, so.
If you look at any stills of it, you can definitely, you definitely think it's 2D.
Well, and we just read today that the, they deliberately lowered the frame rate so that it actually matches 2D animation, so.
Yeah.
I think that's a really interesting, like, yeah, it looked kind too of, good, so they had to scale it back.
They're like,
to
no, make no, it, no, like, no, 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 no,
because the CG, it has, like, two straight of lines sometimes, and, like, two.
Yeah, well,
It's, like, it's too good.
Right?
You it's, know.
We can get into some weird information.
So, because it, but that's funny that they actually scaled it back specifically right. so they can give it that, that je ne sais quoi, that look.
Which is kind of funny, you just talk about, like, film in general, like, the idea of, was The Hobbit that was just shot at 60 frames per second, which is very, like, it's pointless. We don't see that fast, like, so you're seeing more images that essentially make it look more fake because you're, like, seeing past the secret wall, you
but
know,
then
like.
To, like, But then to do stuff like that, like, other things, like, you know, one of my favorites, Black Dynamite, is shot on, like, film cameras that make it look like it's from the 70s, but it was filmed in, like, 2008 or 7 or something like that.
Yeah, we're a really interesting place with storytelling where we can manipulate so much of, like, how we want the visual look to appear.
Yeah, yeah. So I think, you know, you can do whatever you want, and as long as it matches this... The story, I think that's a cool thing, especially in animation and comics, is they're starting to get more, or at least from my perspective, they're starting to get more styles that match content.
Yes.
Instead of just going out there and filming a story, you know, like, you actually have, like, stylistic qualities.
Yeah.
That match the storytelling.
And I think it's very smart. Say what you will about, Zack Snyder's vision. Zack Snyder had a really good understanding of how to set a tone for a film and a film franchise visually, and I think that's cool. I mean, it definitely gives a certain joie de vivre, you know? Like, they have a certain look to them.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
absolutely.
Probably move on from this one.
Yeah.
So the She-Ra, like, official teaser trailer got released for She-Ra and the Princesses of Power. I want to emphasize that because that probably means we might get kind of a magical Sailor Moon Supergirl type team, which
I mean,
I'm really excited about.
Trailer, transforming, and I'm like, I'm hoping for Sailor Moon's stuff. Hoping, yeah!
The fist bumps that put her bracers on.
Yeah.
I was like, yes!
I
also
like ready
love
to climb up the walls.
The awesome voiceover, too. Like, there was something about the way it's, I'm assuming the sword was talking to her. Was like,
that's
oh
a
yeah,
sword voice?
I thought it was like the spirit of Grayskull.
Oh, it could
something.
Be that too.
Like
that's
that,
like,
yeah. And like, speaking of voices, I don't know why, I really love the voice actress they chose. Just from the little clips of her talking, like I think it's gonna be. I don't know. For some reason, I think she can go. She sounds like she could go really well either way, from being this sort of uncertain teen. like, finding out what's going on to this, like, fucking, like...
warrior chick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have the power!
But for the honor of Grayskull, I have the power. Yeah. That was a cool... And I don't know if in the original She-Ra, because it's been, obviously, I was a kid watching that stuff.
Yeah, that's what she says.
Is it? Okay.
Yep. And I thought that though was a little sexist though, because she says by the honor of Grayskull, and He-Man says by the power of Grayskull. Yeah. You know, what... She-Ra can't have power.
I think it's more saying that She-Ra's more honorable than He-Man is. Oh,
that's fair.
Well, I mean, there's a reason that they're rebooting She-Ra and not doing a He-Man series.
Yeah, you know, sorry, like, He-Man fans out there.
Maybe this will lead into Masters of the Universe, but I'm excited about this. I'm also excited because this is 2D animation.
Mm-hmm. I've missed out a lot on 2D animation. Honestly, that's like I love 2D animation, and I always will.
Yeah,
me too. I mean, that's what I really like. I went to school for computer graphic animation, but 2D was where my love was.
I
love the visual style.
I
feel
like it's like a lost art form sometimes.
I'm glad Netflix exists because they are really taking chances with things like that, and it's awesome.
And they're doing things pretty too. They're not just doing it like, you know, Teen Titans Go, where it's 2D animation, but not detailed. So
yeah, no, definitely they're experimenting with styles, because you look at that versus something like Voltron, and Voltron is very anime inspired. And
yeah, that's definitely straight up American anime.
Yeah. Which is wonderful. It looks, it's a beautiful show. So
yeah,
but this is definitely more more bubblegum. There's a lot of like, it looks like they're doing iridescent effects, which should be really cool to see. Like, that should be really like,
yeah,
fun.
I think from what I was getting from the trailer, it kind of looked like it might, like Kat was saying, take a lot from those sort of, like,
The Magical Girl.
Yeah.
What's that genre called?
Not shonen, it's show. It's Seiji, maybe?
Maybe.
I figured off the top of my head. I'm not an anime nerd like Kat.
I'm hoping the Archer character comes back in the show, too, because I like archery. So if there's a bowcaster that I get to.
Oh, like a, what was that? Forget. Anyway.
I'm pretty, it's just Magical Girls.
Yeah,
Magical
Girls. It's like Maho Shoujo or something like
Shoujo,
that.
Shoujo, that's the one.
Okay. Well, it sounds about right, because I think that's where it started.
Literally Little Girl.
Oh, is that what that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
yeah, really excited for that. It's next month that drops, October. I think so.
I believe it's next month,
which is great because I just, you know,
I know, right?
Just finished Voltron. I've still got Dragon Prince and
Nat just got me into Voltron. That whole thing, and then I got the Dragon Prince.
It's not coming till November.
Oh,
November 16th, 2018.
Oh, November,
man.
We're
watching
this October.
I'm just like sitting over here, like Christmas time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
well, no, in Christmas time we'll be watching Daredevil punching the shit out of people.
I know.
Yeah, and the Spider-Men's punching the shit out of people too.
Let's not go there. There's not enough information out
just
about that.
Standing outside in a Santa suit.
Yeah, Kat's over there. Like all the people are lined up in front of the stores for Black Friday, like sleeping in their tents, and we're all out there in front of the movie theater. And it's like on the other side of the parking lot.
No, I pictured us like, instead of holding up a boombox, we're just holding up Miles Morales comic books. Like,
and they're just like screaming, "Baby, come back!"
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I did find a Venom Christmas sweater, so
that's horrible.
Oh, god. Man.
Okay, so also Netflix, the first trailer for the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina dropped, and it was chilling.
That was a very apropos.
Yeah.
I'm not super sure what I watched, but I'm like, I'm gonna have nightmares watching. God damn it!
Nah, fuck the goat head at
that
table. I was like, nope.
I'm like, Satan's in this.
Yeah.
Turn off your TV.
What?
Satan's coming from that box.
What is it about like poppy songs sung in like a slowed down like single like person voice?
Well,
what makes that so creepy?
I'm not
just like the chick singing Happy Birthday.
Oh my god!
Without any instrumental backing,
a musical genius or anything, but I'm pretty sure she shifted it to minor, because apparently that's like a tone for people that always comes off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
No, that's true. It's always slowed down and then shifted into a minor key.
Yeah.
So, like,
I'm just like, try not to tear my skin off.
So, well, yeah, well,
you could do that.
You know what? You said tear your skin off, and I feel like in the show somebody would tear their skin off.
Oh, yeah.
I believe
it.
This trailer was... Man, it was just creepy. Like, it's just flashes of images of things. I'm, like, actually kind of, like, rubbing my hands right now. I know you can't see this. Like, I'm freaked out a little bit.
Everybody's just...
exactly. Yeah.
Everybody's just, like, fucking twitching. But, yeah, apparently I think it's a shift to a minor key is usually that norm thing when people start to get creeped out, too.
Maybe this is what we're watching in October. Probably. Adventures of Sabrina.
Well, we're at the 26th, so 5 days before Halloween.
It's going to be a Halloween thing.
It looks, I mean, that was, that trailer gave me enough to be confident about what this is.
Yeah.
I was already going to watch. My question then is whether or not Salem talks.
I'm
like,
scared
that,
now.
That, oh, that's the cat. Like, yeah. I'm
pretty sure
that's
the cat sacrificing people. He's like in the bathtub.
Right.
Yeah, but like, it has a voice, but the voice is like the double, like, voice where it has, like, the deeper one, you know, like, cut below. Like, it's like, hello, Sabrina.
Right?
He's like, you know? Sacrificing somebody in the bathtub.
Oh, and you know what they could do? Like, it's after, Image have like meows happen, so it's like you're hearing that voice, but you're also hearing the meow as he's like opening. So it's like, hello, Sabrina.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all have ever seen David Lynch's Rabbits, but he like does stuff like where like throws sound in and like things, and then it gets like really weird and really creepy because they'll have like doors opening, but like no door, like the sound of doors opening, but like
no, there's no door. Oh, that's annoying.
And stuff like that. So like if you just had the meow, but like yeah, you know.
His mouth, I'm like closed, twitching over here. I'm like, I'm a chicken shit. I hate scary things. Like, I want to see how
I know, right?
I mean, like, I feel like this can't be like ultra violent because it was initially a CW show, but man, tonally it's scary.
Maybe that's,
I mean,
specifically
that,
why Netflix took it over.
Yeah.
The creators at the creator, like the CW, is like, dude, we can't do this. You guys gotta tone
down
the script. And they're like, hey, Netflix, what do you think about this script?
I was watching Riverdale in the last season, was super fucked and creepy. I mean, yes, again, chicken shit, but still, like, at one point she's in the same house as a murderer doing the creepiest shit. He's like, put the mask on. And she's like staring at herself in the mirror in this creepy house where a bunch of people were killed.
Oh man. See, well, it's the same producers.
Yeah.
Oh god.
It's the producing team from Riverdale.
Yep.
I'm fine.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. I can't do certain things I can't do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Body horror is
yeah, number one for me, with the exception of the Jeff Goldblum's The Fly.
Ooh, no, see,
oh, God.
But I mean, everything else beyond that, I can't.
Yeah,
do.
As much as I like that movie, when there's certain scenes, I have to cover my own eyes.
It starts just falling apart.
Oh, God. Please move on.
Let's move on.
Patrick's
like, I'm not going to be able to sleep for a week.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers, Worlds of DC... What's going on?
I hope that sign was caught.
Yeah, you know, so Henry Cavill was not Superman for a day.
I don't know. They gave, the thing was, is so they're saying the Hollywood Reporter should be shot right now because they're the ones that started this.
Well, and the Hollywood Reporter is notoriously good at
stirring shit.
Well, but they're really accurate.
Mm.
That's the thing, is, you know, like, this is, they're a respected news house for entertainment news.
Yeah.
And they
that came
had...
out really badly, too. That's not how I meant it. I'm just irritated with them because they started this and now it's just, and everybody else has, like, spiraled after this.
Right. I think this was a case of news regurgitation that may not have been true, where one person said one thing to someone and it trickled down into Henry Cavill's no longer Superman.
But the thing is Warner Brothers hasn't come out and said, oh, no, he's still Superman. They're being very cryptic, and then he also decided to be super cryptic.
Oh, yeah, his Instagram video
or
whatnot.
Yeah, I was like, well, I wouldn't even watch it. I'm like, no, I'm not wasting my time with this.
I mean, the thing about this that, like, I can get on the whole thing about, like, fake news, but, like, newspapers want to be the first people to break a story, so a lot of times they, you know, put the cart before the horse, and they're a little quick. As in this case, you know, somebody probably heard a rumor and they're like, let's get on this. Like,
yeah.
Well, the whole reason
you can always, like, redact articles and walk them
that
back
it,
later.
That it started was because negotiations broke down for him to have a cameo at Shazam.
Right.
Okay.
Because of and so many conflicting interests, because he signed on to be the Witcher for the Netflix series.
Right.
And then on top of that, apparently he just, like, a lot of scheduling stuff. And me personally, I was listening to something the other day, and they were saying that this would be, like, the end of the Zack Snyder era, just getting rid of him. And I'm like, I like him as Superman.
Yeah.
I really, really do. Like,
the biggest problem with both Affleck and Henry Cavill is they haven't gotten the movie that was written for the core of those characters.
Well, he, honestly, personally, for the Superman that was given to him, he did very well.
Man of Steel is a fantastic film.
Oh, and I really like it, and he did very, very well.
Yeah.
They're just not doing it right, so, and I can understand a lot of them being deflated, because it's like, they get their ass handed to them all the time.
Well, the last 15 minutes of Justice League, that is the Superman movie I want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to see Cavill in that Superman role, where he can be a poster child for optimism. And,
yeah, he's a fucking hero. He's not, he's not Batman.
Right, exactly. And the you know, the Man of Steel version of Superman, I thought was going to grow into that, but but the universe itself sort of unraveled, and I don't know, I really would like for him to at least get one film to do that.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is too, is what they're saying now is that they're actually going to bench Superman in favor of Supergirl, which just kind of aggravates me, because I'm like, no, give me another, like, everybody's been asking for another Man of Steel movie.
Yeah.
I don't care about your Supergirl
right now. WB right now, after the backlash, and kudos to all the fans for finally being vocal about how much we love Cavill, because that was one of the major positives of this, was that mention of, you know what, no, we like Cavill as Superman, so we'd like to do this. It would be nice if WB maybe, the standalone movie thing works. Why not give a standalone movie that doesn't necessarily need to connect to every piece of the universe?
Stop trying to copy Marvel is all I
ever
have
well,
to say.
Actually, outright copy Marvel. Make a singular movie that has a character and is doing
I just mostly meant, like, copy him in that sense, but don't copy the fact that they're all interconnected and shit like that. We don't need that.
Well,
we're not going to catch up to them.
Yeah, that was the cart before the horse, which is really the problem that they've had thus far, was the idea that they put everybody together before establishing them, and instead establishing them would have been... Stealing the Marvel paradigm outright would have been the better decision.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
instead of trying to catch up. Yeah.
But
Jinx.
You guys
I don't really know how we're
going
to do this. Yeah.
I don't really drink soda either.
Yeah.
So,
we'll figure this out later.
Some other weird rumors within this was the potential recastings of Superman already.
Woo!
Which Michael B. Jordan's name came up as a future version of Superman.
I saw this news and I thought that would be awesome. I was just imagining him playing Superman. I think he would do an amazing role. He is obviously he's best known for, like, his more violent, like, roles or whatever. But, like, he's, like, a very, nice and, like,
wholesome
person, like, in general. Like, I mean, as a person in general, he, like, doesn't really, like, drink or, like, party or do stuff like that. Like, he's
a big Dragon Ball Z nut.
So him as a part, like, he wouldn't even have to, like, act.
To
be like the character.
So there's two sides to this, and that's whether or not you'd want to just retell the Clark Kent story, or
we can go the Val Zod route, which I would personally like better, because
but if they kept Cavill on and then they brought Michael B.
And
on.
I would be down
Bingo.
For that too. They could do, honestly, they could, like, basically, there's Earth 2, which I would love for them to do a movie that and make him be that Superman, because it sounds terrible, but that is a literal black Superman, and it sounds like he could play this guy to a T just because of all the shit of his backstory.
Earth 2 also lets you pseudo recast and retell different stories
Hell
in a different universe.
Yeah.
Or it could be revealed that we're right now in Earth 2.
That could be game for that.
Cavill, the dark Superman that he becomes, dies, the one who takes over the mantle of Superman, and then we have an entirely different universe. I think one of the things that Warner Brothers is scared to do.
That would be really cool. I was just thinking if they establish Michael B. Jordan is, like, the Earth 2 Superman. And so, like, if you're going to have more movies set in Earth 2, if you wanted to bring that together, all you'd have to do is, like, just have a picture on the TV in the background with him as Superman in, like, the news or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's all you would have to do to establish it's Earth 2 or, like, see him, like, fly over and, like...
Well, the other part...
Like, just a 3 second, you know, because he has a different suit. Or whatever.
Well, the other part of it is, too, is, like, the Earth 2 Superman costume. Like, Val Zod, his costume is badass.
Yes, it would be incredibly cinematic to see. Mm-hmm. It's blue, silver, and red. Mm-hmm. And what would normally be red on the traditional Superman costume is what's silver.
Yep.
So it would be this metallic.
Ooh.
Like, yeah. Silver, white.
That is cool. Yeah, and see, you would just have to see him fly over, mm-hmm. and you get that different color scheme.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For... literally a split second.
And that would establish.
And then the audience knows that you're on Earth too.
And I think it would be, this is something I think Warner Brothers is scared to do, but leaning into the skid, like, DC is known for the multiple universes. Like, that's, yeah. like, part of the history of the...
I mean, they
the
have established 52
that's
universes.
What that's why the people always, that's why a lot of people actually, like, hilariously enough, talk shit to me. They're like, you have 52 multiverses. So I was like, yeah, it's cool. I get really awesome different stories. I get stories where all of a sudden all the good guys are the bad guys and the bad guys are the good guys. I loved it.
Right. I mean. Well, it's then you can establish the TV universe as being as one of those universes mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the TV universe is Earth 37, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's...
I mean, they already have two different Earths in the CW
they
universe.
They do. Exactly. Because, you know, Supergirl exists
Supergirl
on a different
and
Earth.
Black Lightning, and then Arrow, Flash, and
the
Batgirl,
Legends.
So.
Oh,
yeah.
Batwoman.
Batwoman, yeah. Legends.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's, like, a ton of... there's a lot of different directions they could go, and to be personally honest, if they're going to cast Michael B. Jordan, I would rather him be his own Superman so he could take his own take from it.
Yeah, that would be, that's a really interesting point, is that it would be nice for him to go carte blanche. Like, mm-hmm. there's no established, like, no, the general populace doesn't know Val Zod.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you'd be
no,
able
that
to,
is,
to
so
that start
would be his
from
iteration
scratch.
Instead of doing Clark Kent, which everybody
which is
already
cool,
knows.
Because I keep saying this is what... both DC and Marvel should do is just pick up, like, these random-ass characters and just give them, like, standalone
well, and, like,
movies.
How nice would it be to, like, oh, God, we're getting another Superman origin story? It's like, yeah, but it's not Clark Kent. It's like, excuse me?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the other thing, too, is, like, you have the ability to establish Earth 2, and all they scream about, all anybody screams about anymore is diversity, and I'm like, this mm-hmm. is, like, diversity team to a P over here.
Well, and this is non-forced diversity. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, you know, here's a character, and it works.
No, exactly.
Well, you also have Hot Girl, who's,
I
thought you just said Hot Girl. I was like, who are we talking about here?
I mean, Wonder Woman looks pretty great on this cover.
Right?
there is a team of, like, straight-up diversity, I know.
Oh, yeah. You have the Supergirl that would be, I think she's technically the same Power Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so, but you could have this and have this League on its own.
That would be badass.
And
would
I would
badass.
Watch, and then you can have different castings for Wonder Woman, because she's also different in this as a carrier as well. Supergirl, who she ends up being, I think she's the one.
I think she's the clone, though. Like, I think that she's, it's been a while since I've read Earth 2 Society. Great book.
I have it. I still need to read it. But you have Hot Girl, like, you have an ability for this whole different Justice League team, which I would prefer, because now I have different iterations in a multiverse.
Yeah.
Just like, and then I have a Michael B. Jordan, Val Zod, and I don't have to be like, oh, he's not like Clark Kent. He's not like Clark Kent. No, I don't,
like,
no one knows who Val
Zod
is.
You would do this. Yes, he's not like Clark Kent.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like there's...
That would be cool. All I'm saying, though, is if Henry Cavill ends up walking away, I still think Michael B. would do a good job.
He's apparently still got one
Clark
movie left.
As Kal-El.
His contract has apparently one movie left.
Yeah, there's some weird things about that. So there's something I found out about yesterday. If you play the same role more than 3 times, if you're a SAG carrier, your rate goes up.
Oh, really?
Because it falls under a clause of typecasting.
Mm-hmm.
So the concern would be for the actor or actress that you would be typecast in similar roles, so you have to get paid more. This next Superman film would be Cavill's 4th time.
Oh, so it's just
character.
Contract renegotiation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there could be a problem with
that. Well, yeah,
that.
And the other thing is, too, is people, I can understand that whole typecasting, but I'm like, dude, he was in Mission Impossible, now he's going to be The Witcher. He's doing his best
yeah,
to
no,
stay
he,
out
yeah.
of
yeah.
Cavill's going to be fine, but I think he loves playing Superman, and I really would love to see one more go
I had honestly, a standalone movie. I love him as Superman. I think his in Batman and Superman, he got a short deal on that, and that's just the writing. But in Man of Steel, I was like, this is Superman. Yeah. Like, I remember watching, what was it, Superman Returns? And I was all right. And then I saw this movie, Man of Steel, with my mom, and I'm like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah. I think maybe, like, I'm gonna throw this out there to the fans and to my compatriots here. I think we should do a Man of Steel retrospective episode and sort of discuss what happened to the DCU after that, because Man of Steel has a lot of talking points. And yeah, it would be a really, really interesting discussion. I'll for have like to
rewatch.
30 minutes.
I would have to rewatch it, but I'd be game.
I think we could rewatch it together.
Yeah, right.
I might maybe not have seen Man of Steel. So
that would be really good for you.
Yeah, that's a good perspective right there.
So we sounds like we've set up an upcoming special episode.
Here we are, making our plans, doing right. our show.
You know,
sometimes
that needs to happen, right? I feel like there's a lot more I want to say, and that's why I feel like this is something that we should mm-hmm. maybe do separately.
Fair enough, yeah.
Let's stick with Worlds of DC, but we're going to go into the DC Universe now, the streaming service, which launches tomorrow, September 15th.
Yep.
So new images for Titans have released as the full team together. Kat is shaking her head.
I'm sorry, and I feel like a douche, and it's not the actress's fault, but they, like, I don't know, they made her look kind of like a hooker. And I don't know if it's maybe the jacket.
About Starfire.
Yeah, if it's the jacket that's doing it or what.
It's the jacket.
I have a theory. There is not a single shot of the team that we have seen that isn't in episode one. I think the only images that we've seen that are not episode one are the Jason Todd and Dick Grayson stuff. Mm-hmm. Everything else I think is episode one. I was reading an article that said that the only person in costume at the beginning of the show is Robin, and it is his look that inspires them to suit up and actually form as a team. So what we're seeing, we might just be seeing Starfire just landing, and she just grabbed what she grabbed.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so it's like part of the like a homeless person's coat kind of thing.
People
like just
are also... She,
yeah,
people
she's
are
in the
also,
back of
yeah,
a
she,
strip club.
Yeah.
And
she found a pimp.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, like she goes up to you know, kiss somebody and
to
it's
learn the language. And yeah, exactly. So she gets herself into a bad situation.
May I have the jacket, please?
Yeah. Like, we don't have a story. We don't have context for why that is.
It's definitely not the actress's fault by any means. No. And it's what they put her in. And I don't know if that's to make a point or something, but...
I've seen these images, and the more I looked at them, the more
very pretty woman,
confused I got. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The more confused I got. I just need to see this show. I just need to see what tone it has. I need to see what it's going for. I just don't know.
Right.
The more I know, the less I know.
Yeah. There's a lot of positive from the images that have been released. I think Hawk and Dove look fantastic.
Dude, they scared the
shit. Oh, is that who that were?
Yeah. They look great. And that whole, like, their costume sensibilities along with Robin's makes me feel like we're going to get something that looks really cool for the rest of the characters.
I feel like the images of them and then the images of Robin versus the images of the rest of the team were, like, just completely different, like, cinematography. Just, like...
That's why I don't like her costume.
Just, like...
Okay, that's why I was like, why the fuck do I hate her costume so much? It's a dress.
Yeah.
It's not a
but
skirt.
Still,
it's more of a...
But still, it might just be
a
the
short
first
dress.
Episode or whatever.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
And that's totally true.
Well, and, you know, that she may gravitate towards the color purple because of, like, mm-hmm. that's, like, Tamaran's, like, color scheme is purple and silver. Mm-hmm.
She was
a warrior. So she may have just grabbed the first purple thing
that
she saw.
And
no, and that's, and that's
too.
Yeah. And that's totally true. It's just one of those things that I'm like... Don't ever give the actress...
Maybe she is wearing that, and then she's like, oh, but I shouldn't wear this. I should wear some Earth clothes. And then later on, they're like,
This is definitely not me trying to give the actress shit. And it's always just directed towards the costume design and the writers, because I'm just like, you made her look like a hooker.
I think at this point in time, the people we really need to direct this at is the marketing team.
Hell,
I don't know if they realize what is being projected right now.
Or maybe they do, and they're like... The weirdness is getting us to talk. I mean, here we are
talking
about
again.
The advertising. So, like, that's effect of whether or not they meant it.
So I briefly mentioned that there's the shots of Jason Todd face-to-face with Dick Grayson.
Yeah, by the way, yeah. His character, like the guy who's playing him, the actor, he has a very feminine features. And it kind of, like, weirds me out a little bit. Well, it's
because he's young. Yeah, he's really...
How young is he?
I think he's, 16.
Yeah, he looks like a teenager.
Right, so. Which, it's time-wise, makes sense with Grayson, because I think Grayson's supposed to be portrayed as, 18 or 19, first time on his own.
That sounds about right.
But the fact that their costumes look nigh identical to one another is really... I think that's an interesting story point, because we get the fuck Batman line in the first trailer. And it seems like Batman said, "Oh, you want to leave? Go ahead. I'll just replace you." And he's standing face to face to somebody wearing the exact same suit. It's like, yeah, well, you got replaced.
Yeah.
So
it's like, you don't think Batman would do this to you?
All right. I don't care.
Catch you around, big guy.
So I'm really hoping the reason that they haven't showed a lot past episode one is maybe Dick Grayson does put on the Nightwing costume before the series ends.
I will say this too: the release date
be awesome.
For that series is October 12th as well.
Can I, and I want a negative on that one. Don't launch worry. The damn streaming service until you have that first series, because that's a lot of us are going to get that because we want to see what the hell Titans is.
So as of now, they just have all their old movies and shows.
Yeah, there's actually something really exciting. They have a DC Daily, which is going to be a TV show, and there's a lot of YouTube pundits who are big in the geek culture that'll be doing DC news and stuff on there. Mm-hmm. And that I'm excited about.
I wonder if they're going to get Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith, I think, is part of it. The names I'm thinking of are Clark Wolf and Hector Rodriguez from...
Oh, I was mostly just thinking because apparently he's talking about renaming his show even. So that's why I was curious if maybe
Hector Navarro, sorry.
Moving to their network, but probably not. But, I don't know, I'm not, I always have that rule that I can't complain about something till I see it. It's just, this poor girl. I feel like you were kind of mean to her.
Yeah. No, I think she's going to be vindicated when we actually get shots from later stuff.
God, I hope so.
I shouldn't even say it like that. She doesn't there's no vindication that's necessary, but I think that everybody else is going
to
eat crow.
Well, a lot of the other things.
Like I said, I just have to see it.
Yeah. Some of the people are saying too that they're trying to give her more of that 70s vibe from when she was in the 70s comics, and I was
oh yeah.
Either way, she didn't look.
She does her hair, now that you mention it, that's definitely looks like the old, it 70s or 80s animated?
Probably 70s.
I think it's going to be what her first experience on Earth is going to formulate the look that she has.
Yeah.
And I that will change over time.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah, it's 80s, which I should have figured because the 80s yeah. was all about that big hair, so.
Yeah. About that big hair. All right.
Cool.
Well, let's move to the top of the stack.
Yeah, or I just have one more.
Oh, you have one more thing?
News,
okay.
Real quick, I guess. The Kingdom Hearts 3 finally released, an official trailer, I guess.
Oh, okay.
It's not just, gameplay. So, it looks awesome, as you expect. They still have the release date of January 29th, 2019.
Okay. So that game is physically in my hands on that day.
Right,
exactly. I know, right? I'm still tentative, but I've seen this similar date a few times already.
I know, but at the same time, they're 2019, wait, what?
Yeah, I know.
Is any of this real?
Yeah,
but out to original Kingdom Hearts there.
But yeah, right. If you haven't seen the gameplay that they have in it, it is leaps and bounds beyond the original trilogy.
Yeah, I'm sitting here and I'm like, God damn it, you're gonna make me learn harder things in this game.
I have to play it
on beginner, you dicks.
I know, right? I was thinking in the first three, I just ran around and I could just use my keyblade pretty much for the whole thing, but now I gotta press multiple buttons and shoot things and
have
fly
to make sure that I utilize my character team up powers.
Yeah, son of a bitch.
Yeah, oh, making me think and work.
Now, the bigger thing of this is I need to buy a PS4.
Do it now.
Yeah.
Between this Spider-Man and God of War, it's
if
like
I didn't have. If it wasn't a special edition PS4, I'd be like, here, Nat. But
right?
It's special edition. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
It's red. All right.
Yeah.
So we are now and then going to move to the top of the stack. So this is our second time doing this. Once again, top of the stack is what the comic you either decided you wanted to read first, so you brought it to the top of your stack, or retrospectively decided that this was the one that you were most excited about and it should have been what you read first.
Hells yeah.
I will go ahead and lead us off with MCMLXXV, otherwise known as 1975, issue number one.
That honestly triggered me a little bit. You can't just have 1979, you gotta be stupid about it.
It is the Roman numeral for 1975. Not exactly confirmed whether or not that's the true title of the book, but it works.
Yeah. I'm not pronouncing that.
Anyway, why is this at your top of your stack? It's written by it up there?
Written by Joe Casey with art with Ian Macewan. So I didn't even have this pulled, but once I finally got to see the interior art and saw like the monster fighting and the glowing weapon and the ink style, I'm huge on inks, uh-huh. and it just, I don't know, it grabbed me. It also is being described as heroic fiction. And there seems to be some sort of a tie to, you know, ancient Roman mythology, and I think that's why the Roman numeral name.
Mm.
So I'm just intrigued by this little story. I also haven't read something by Joe Casey in a while, so it was just definitely, I enjoyed the read, especially, something about the whole theme of it that led me to want to read it first. So
yeah, cool. Well, yeah, nice. What about you, Kat? What made it to the top of your stack?
I mean, it made me really sad, because when I was reading my comics this week, a lot of them I felt like I'm just, like, reading them to get through them, and then I read Unnatural, and I'm like, why didn't I read this first? but Unnatural issue number 3, I'm still not understanding what the hell is going on in this, but all of a sudden it was like, yeah, you're confused. Now you're more confused!
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, but I don't... tell me. So it's always upsetting.
Yeah.
So what was the top of your stack?
That was that almost made. That was actually like up in the top. So top of my stack, begrudgingly, Nat became Border Town. I probably would have had this at the top of my stack as it was, but I put it in the back just because of Nat's like
comic.
He sold it to me well, but. Yeah, but begrudgingly. So it's about like a border town and on the Mexican-American border. And he's like, oh, you would love this. It's about illegal immigrants and race and all this stuff. And I'm just like, God damn it. Am I that guy now? Like, I never.
Like high thinking stuff. Yeah. Issues. Social issues.
I never asked for any of this.
I didn't mention the art in the description, but the art's fantastic.
The art is fantastic.
That's like an infomercial right now.
Yeah, I know. But then in the end, when I got to the weird sort of twist ending, I was looking through it, and then I like right when I thought it was like, okay, this is just getting a little too heavy-handed with its political message, that's exactly when it switched into like this entirely new but like similar thing that was like, oh, whoa!
They just, like, walk up with a bat. They're like,
yeah. They're like, there's illegal immigrants and, you know, all this, like, racial talk, and then all of a sudden the Chupacabra is transporting between dimensions.
Yep.
Wait,
and, yeah.
They're gonna deal with Mexican mythology in this story as well.
God,
so
I love mythology.
So interestingly enough, though, another reason this made it to the top of my stack is my friend made this post about being, like, he's half Japanese, and with Naomi Osaka winning the World Cup, he made this post about, you know, people who are half, you know, would rather be called, like, double or whatever. That's a big thing, like, in Japan.
Hmm.
It's, like, you're American and Japanese. Yeah. And so, like, there's a quote in here where the woman, I was literally reading this, and then I pop on Facebook and saw his post about this, and so I took a picture of this panel and posted it for his thing. It says, you're not half Mexican and half Irish. That makes you sound like the world's shittiest centaur. You're Mexican and you're Irish and American.
That's great.
Yeah.
The world's shittiest centaur.
Yeah, I know.
This was a great book.
So this was, yeah, that was a great book. Wow. So top of my stack, but yeah. Begrudgingly.
Begrudgingly at the top of your stack.
I had it at the top, and then I put it on the bottom, and I was like, yeah, screw you, man. And then I brought it back up.
We went pretty indie with our top of the stacks, although it's a Vertigo book, but
yeah.
It's the second Vertigo title for the new Vertigo relaunch. Like, it's just that, and then the Sandman universe.
And
stuff,
then the Sandman universe?
Which is, like, kudos to the creators of Border Town, because that's, like, that's pretty high up there to be part of this relaunch.
Yeah, to be with, to be on the same line as a Neil Gaiman book.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, Eric M. Esquivel and Ramon
Villalobos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nat.
I follow Ramon Villalobos on Twitter. So
Matt, or Nat, the resident name expert.
Yay, so, names.
All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with that, let's say bye then.
Bye.